I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter number 2 this morning, Luke 2 verses 21 through verse 35, Luke 2, 21 through 35. This month I have been presenting a mini-series of messages on the songs of Christmas from Luke chapters 1 and 2, and I would refer you to the chart on the back of your notes. We began by looking at Zechariah's song, also known by its Latin title Benedictus, from the Latin phrase of his song, which says, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel." Next, we studied Mary's song, known by its Latin title Magnificat, from the first phrase of her song, which says, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Last week, we listened to the angel's song, known by its Latin title Gloria in Excelsis, which comes from the phrase, "Glory to God in the highest." And in every case, these songs were the expressions of praise and worship to God when the arrival of the promised Messiah was announced. This morning, we've now come to Simeon's song, known by its Latin title, Nunc Dimittis, which comes from Luke 2, verse number 29, where Simeon says to God, "Now you are letting your servant depart in peace." You see, God had promised Simeon that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ in verse number 26. And now Simeon is holding the little baby Jesus, the Christ child, in his arm in verse number 28. And so Simeon sang a song, not a lullaby for the baby Jesus, but rather a song of peace for himself and for the world. And so this morning from Luke 2, verses 21 through 35, I prepared a message titled, A Song of Peace. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we look at his holy word. God in heaven, we thank you so much for the things that we have heard yet this morning, the things that we have sung, the scripture that we have read. And Lord, now as we give our attention to the Holy Scripture and the record of Simeon and his song of peace upon the meeting of our Lord Jesus Christ as an infant, I pray that you would teach us by your Spirit from this text. Lord, and I pray that you would seize our attention and our affections to love you more because of it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 4 says, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law." And here in this passage, Luke tells us some of how Jesus was born under the law. For example, the Mosaic law required that all baby boys be circumcised on the eighth day after their birth. That was fulfilled in Luke 2, verse number 21. Look there. "And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb." This most probably took place in Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. The Mosaic law also required that women wait 40 days after giving birth before they could enter the temple because of ceremonial purification. That was fulfilled in verse 22. Look at Luke 2, verse 22. "Well, now when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord." And it's probable that Mary and Joseph and Jesus went from Bethlehem in the southern Judean mountains north to Jerusalem on their way back further north to their hometown of Nazareth, for it was 90 miles between, it is 90 miles between Bethlehem and Nazareth. And at 20 miles per day, it would take nearly a week for one to make that journey. The Mosaic law also required that parents present their firstborn before the Lord with the offering of a sacrifice. And that was fulfilled here at the end of verse 22. The end of verse 22, "They brought him to Jesus to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." And the turtle doves or the two young pigeons were a provision in the law for poor families who couldn't afford a lamb. And so all of these things here were in fulfillment of the law, and all of these things brought Mary and Joseph and the six-week-old Christ child, Jesus, to the temple in the city of Jerusalem. Verse number 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." The consolation of Israel there could be translated the comfort of Israel, as it described the Messiah's deliverance of Israel, what Anna called the redemption of Jerusalem later in verse 38. Simeon was a common name among the Jews. We recognize the name Simeon as being one of the 12 sons of Jacob. We recognize Simeon as being one of the 12 tribes of Israel. In the book of Acts, there were many who were named Simeon. However, this Simeon only occurs here in Luke chapter 2. And all that we know about this Simeon is found here in these verses. We don't know if Simeon was from the city of Jerusalem. We only know that he was in the city of Jerusalem. Some believe that Simeon was a priest in the temple, but we don't know that. The text doesn't explicitly tell us that. We assume that Simeon was an older man, although we don't know how old he was. And apart from what's written here in Luke 2, we don't know much about Simeon. However, what we do know about Simeon is most important. Here in verse 25, the Bible tells us that this man was just and he was devout. In the words of the Apostle Paul, Simeon wasn't just a Jew who was one outwardly, but he was a Jew who was one inwardly. Best of all, there at the end of verse 25, the Holy Spirit was upon him. And that is a great biography. Never mind the details of my life and livelihood, if it can be said that Matt Moreau was a man who was filled with the Holy Spirit, who walked in the Spirit, who evidenced the fruits of the Spirit, that is sufficient for me. May that be said of all of us. Never mind the random details of our life existence, but the Holy Spirit is upon this man Simeon. Verse 26, "And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." And I imagine that every day Simeon awoke and wondered if this day would be the day that he would meet the Messiah. If Simeon was from the city of Jerusalem, we can assume that he was a regular at the temple, although we don't know that it was revealed to him that he would meet the Messiah at the temple. Perhaps he would meet the Messiah in the marketplace, or perhaps another place. How then would he know, as promised to him by the Holy Spirit of God, how would he know when he had met the Messiah? Perhaps on some occasion you've been scheduled to have a meeting with someone you've never met before. Maybe you've corresponded with that one, or you've talked to that one on the phone, but now you are to have a meeting. You've agreed to a lunch meeting, and so you awkwardly wait at the restaurant for your clients to come. And you look around looking for someone else who's alone and awkwardly waiting for you to come, right? And then you gather up the courage and you go over to that other one and you ask them, you say, "Well, hello, are you Bob?" "Well," and they answer, "Yes, I'm Bob." "Oh, that's good, I'm Matt." It's good to finally meet you, Bob, right? And that rendezvous occurs. At the airport, the chauffeurs do it better. They hold a sign that simply says Bob, right? And so you know that's the meeting place. I remember some years ago traveling to Romania to visit missionary Benny Costia and the work of Central Seminary in the city of Arad, Romania. And Dr. Kevin and Debbie Bowder had already gone before. Dr. Tom and Jane Zempel had already gone before. They were waiting for me. And the missionary sent a gentleman to pick me up at the airport across the border in Budapest, Hungary. And at baggage claim there was a man standing there with a sign that said, "Matt Morrell." However, Morrell was grossly misspelled. And I wasn't entirely sure if I was the right Matt that he was waiting for. And of course, the man didn't speak English and I didn't speak Romanian. And so I got into the man's car and I rode with him for nearly 3 hours in the dark at nighttime, crossing the border between two countries, Hungary into Romania. The whole time, I wasn't sure if I was with the right guy in the right car, going to the right place. Maybe I had just been abducted in a foreign country, right? And I would never be heard from again. How did Simeon know who to look for? Was Simeon even looking for a baby? Maybe Simeon was looking for a strong young man. Who would you look for if you were looking for the Messiah, the Lord's Christ? But in this case, the Holy Spirit of God was upon him. In verse 25, the Holy Spirit revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And in verse 27, the Holy Spirit led Simeon to the temple, just as God had led Mary, Joseph, and Jesus to the temple as those under the law. And the Holy Spirit prompted Simeon to know that the poor carpenter and the peasant girl were carrying the Lord's Christ, the Messiah, that baby. Look at verse 27. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, Jesus was born under the law. That is why they were there. He took him up in his arms. That is Simeon, verse 28, took Jesus up in his arms and blessed God. God revealed to Simeon that Mary's child was the Christ. Can you imagine holding in your arms the promised Messiah? Can you imagine cradling the little baby who was the fulfillment of all of God's promises to Israel? What would you say? Hush, little baby? Would you sing a lullaby, perhaps? But at this point, Simeon blesses God, and he says this. Simeon breaks into song, and it was a song of peace. Beginning in verse 29, he says, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace." In Latin, nunc dimittis. Look at verse 29. "Lord, you are now letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel." May I suggest, if you follow the notes that I prepared for you, may I suggest, number one, Jesus' birth prepares us to die. Jesus' birth prepares us to die. Simeon was content at long last to die in peace. To rest in peace, we say, because he had witnessed the fulfillment of God's promise through the prophets. But in what way does Jesus' birth prepare us to die? Well, Simeon tells us of this baby, Jesus. Working backward from the end of Simeon's song, he says, letter A, Jesus is the glory of Israel. Letter A, Jesus is the glory of Israel, the end of verse 32, and the glory of your people, Israel, is where you can find that phrase. It's packed with significance, for it connects so many dots for us from the Old Testament. God promised Abraham, through you all the nations of the earth will be blessed. God promised Moses one greater than him would come. God promised David that one would come to sit on his throne and establish his kingdom and rule in perfect righteousness forever. God promised us through the prophets Isaiah and Micah that the Messiah would be born of a virgin in the little town of Bethlehem, and we could go on and on. As the hymn writer put it, all the hopes and fears of all the years are met here in the birth of Jesus. Jesus was the glory of Israel. But more than just that, look at the first phrase of verse 32. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. Not only was Jesus the glory of Israel, letter B, Jesus is the light of the Gentiles. The light of the Gentiles. Now, the first phrase in verse 32 would be a faint, if not completely foreign idea to the Jewish mind. It was generally understood that the Messiah would come to bring hope and glory and deliverance to the Jews, but the Messiah was also to be a light to the Gentiles. And however the angels said it, at the birth of Jesus, it was good tidings of great joy to all people. And that's what Simeon even says at the end of verse 31, all peoples. So while Jesus came to his own, he came to the Jews, He also came as a light to the Gentiles. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verse number 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In Acts chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas, the Bible says that Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said to the Jews, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn now to the Gentiles. We are pivoting in our ministry from going to the Jews with the gospel to the Gentiles with the gospel, for the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have sent you as a light to the Gentiles that you should be for the salvation to the ends of the earth. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. And so while the Messiah was a Jew, his mission was to seek and save the lost sinner, Jew or Gentile. And so Simeon says Jesus is the light to the Gentiles. But if we back up a little further, earlier in Simeon's song, look at verse number 30. For my eyes have seen your salvation. Letter C, Jesus is the Savior of all men. Jesus is the Savior of all men. And it was in Matthew 1, verse 21, when the angel appeared to Mary, he said, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. You see, folks, it is appointed unto men once to die. Hebrews 9 tells us, it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment because of our sin. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. How do we prepare for the day of our death and judgment? Can we save ourselves? The Bible says, no, we can't. We need a Savior, and the birth of Jesus prepares us to die. We can die in peace if we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And here Simeon in verse 29 recognizes that he can now die in peace. D. James Kennedy wrote a book asking the rhetorical question, what if Jesus had never been born? And if you spend some time meditating, reflecting on that hypothetical question, it is impossible to answer other than this. We would all die in our sin. Jesus was born so that we could die in peace with God. And because Jesus came to save, we can say with the Apostle Paul, for us, to die is gain. So if you can picture this in the temple that day, as Mary and Joseph have brought Jesus to fulfill the law, Simeon is there under the direction of the Holy Spirit. He gathers up the baby Jesus in his arms, and he doesn't sing a lullaby to Jesus, but he sings a song of peace. Jesus' birth prepares us to die. In verse 33, Luke 2, verse 33, Joseph and Mary marveled at the things which were spoken in Simeon's song. There's a contemporary Christian song that asks, Mary, did you know? If Mary didn't know everything about her baby boy, if Mary didn't fully comprehend all of the significance of the birth of Christ when he was born, I assure you that here she knew much more now as these things were being confirmed by Simeon's song. For you see, the birth of Jesus has really become a sentimental story in Western culture, and Hallmark and Hollywood have dramatized the birth of Christ in the most heartwarming of ways. They've romanticized the event with images of peace and quiet. But Jesus' birth and Jesus' life would cause problems for many. And it may have been a silent night in that little town of Bethlehem when Jesus was born, but things would turn violent. Whatever sentiment that Mary and Joseph enjoyed that first few weeks of Jesus' life, and whatever emotion that Mary and Joseph may have experienced as Simeon sang his song in verses 29 to 32, the message that Simeon continued in verses 34 and 35 would have jarred their sensibilities in an unexpected way. Mary, did you know this? In verse 34, Simeon blessed them, and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, Mary, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." What is Simeon saying? If he's saying that Jesus' birth prepares us to die, he's saying also, number two, Jesus' life prepares us to suffer. Jesus' life prepares us to suffer, number two, in verses 34 and 35. And Simeon spoke directly to Mary in verse 34. Why do you think that Simeon spoke directly to Mary? Because she would suffer on account of Jesus' life. And it may be that Simeon spoke directly to Mary because Joseph wouldn't live to experience what Simeon was describing. By the time of Jesus' public ministry, certainly by the time of Jesus' death on the cross, it appears that Joseph was no longer with them. And so Simeon spoke to Mary and warned her of the suffering that would accompany Jesus' life. For he was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. Jesus was despised and rejected of men, even men in his hometown of Nazareth. And as we observe Jesus' life, we are prepared to suffer in our own lives for his sake. How so? Jesus told his disciples in John 15, "If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you." It was the Apostle Peter who wrote this. He said, "Do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when he is revealed in glory, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." Folks, being a follower of Jesus Christ is not a walk in the park of popularity or pleasure, but rather it is a walk down the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering, which is why Jesus said, "Take up your cross and follow me." And so Jesus' life prepares us for suffering. And think of the suffering that Mary, the mother of Jesus, would have experienced as she stood at the foot of the cross and watched her son die. Is there any doubt that it was like a sword piercing through her own soul, as Simeon described at the end, or there in the middle, I guess the beginning of verse 35. Jesus' birth prepares us to die. We can have peace with God. Jesus' life prepares us to suffer. Jesus was born to die, delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. He was crucified and put to death. And folks, that is no lullaby. Simeon's song was not a lullaby for a little baby, but it was a song of peace. And there is reason to sing of Jesus' death as well, because number three, Jesus' death prepares us to live. Jesus' birth prepares us to die. Jesus' life prepares us to suffer. Number three, Jesus' death prepares us to live. Now follow this. Don't lose me yet. There is a phrase at the end of verse 35 that is most convicting. After Simeon sang his song and prophetically told Mary of the devastation she would witness at the death of Jesus, he said that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Folks, when we look beyond the manger and when we look to the cross, the thoughts of our hearts are revealed. What do we think of Jesus? What do we believe about Jesus? And the thoughts of our hearts ask, what child is this? When we see the babe in the manger, the baby Jesus, when we witness and observe the life of Christ, the sinless life of Christ, and then we see him hang on the cross and die, we ask, what child is this? And the answer of our hearts must confess, this is Christ the King. And if he is the promised Messiah, and if he is the anointed one, and if he is the Lord's Christ, and if he is the King, that changes everything. If Jesus is the King, then we must live in light of his lordship. And we say with the Apostle Paul, for me to live is what? Is Christ. Jesus' death prepares us to live. And the Christmas event was necessary so that the cross event could happen. Because of the incarnation and crucifixion of Jesus Christ the Messiah, we can sing the eternal song of peace. This is Christ the King. So this Christmas, as you hear the songs of the season, as you maybe perhaps hum along, as you sing along, as we gather together corporately and we sing the Christmas carols, be mindful of how the birth of Christ prepares us to die, the life of Christ prepares us to suffer, the death of Christ prepares us to live, because the child, this is Christ the King. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for the songs of this season as recorded for us in Luke chapters 1 and 2. I thank you for the song of Simeon. And Lord, as we reflect on his birth and on his life and on his death, it reveals our hearts. What do we think about Jesus? What do we believe about Jesus? What child is this? This is Christ the King. I pray, Lord, that our hearts might be revealed to affirm those truths. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.